Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
This morning's introduction to the New Testament. After witnessing the ascension of Jesus, the disciples do not immediately rush out to tell the good news. Instead, they make a Sabbath journey, which is a short walk, to Jerusalem, where they wait in prayer for the Spirit to move. In this way, they teach us the importance of waiting in prayer. Acts chapter 1, 6 through 14. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing upwards, heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying, Peter and John and James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers.
Please join me in prayer. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, who is our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I'm curious to you today, how many of you hurried up only to find yourself having to wait? Yeah, happens a lot, doesn't it? So today I want to talk about waiting. It's something that we really hate to do, don't we? We hate it so much that we, buy and pay time management experts to give us all their advice on how to stop waiting and just start acting. The art of waiting has been lost indeed. Instead, if we wait, we're branded procrastinators or too slow or, worse yet, dreamers. You know the sort. The ones who spend their time day and night just dreaming, lost in thought. Oh, and maybe even praying. During the pandemic, all we could do is sit around and wait. You remember that? Just sit around the house and wait. We have learned the art of waiting by default. But we still find ourselves today in this kind of hurry up and wait place. So let's see what the scripture has to say about that. Jesus appeared to his disciples, eager to go out and they were eager to share the good news. He has risen. But Jesus rerouted them. Have you ever been on a trajectory, a path? You're moving in a certain direction. Good things are happening. And then all of a sudden, you got rerouted. That's that hurry up and wait thing. Maybe you were rerouted by a setback, a bad news from a doctor. Maybe you were rerouted by your spouse who asked for divorce. Maybe you were rerouted by a job that gave you the pink slip. someone hit you from behind and caused injury to you and your car. That's happened to me. I was rerouted for a while after that. Your kid gets arrested for drunk driving. We all have setbacks. All of us do. We all have been rerouted and told to go sit in another place other than the one that we thought we were going to. It can be very discouraging, but here's the thing. That's not how your story ends. The loneliness, the setback, the bad break, the anxiety is not how God is going to end your story or mine. It's not your destiny. Like the disciples who had to hurry up and wait, greater is coming. The Holy Spirit was coming. They had to wait on that. Great joy, great strength, great health, great relationships, greater days ahead. Nothing, you see, stops your purpose. Often our enemy thought that these setbacks would cause you to remain in doubt and possibly even fear or have a troubled mind. Nothing stops your purpose, nothing. The enemy we call Satan doesn't realize that the power isn't with the Holy Spirit in you and is setting you up for something greater. The disciples are waiting, but this time they wait with prayer. Now this is powerful. They wait with prayer and they wait together. There are great things happening when people come together in prayer. It releases God's power. It releases God's purpose, God's presence. This is what N. Standish talks about in his book, Becoming a Blessed Church, that we are studying now. When you are in difficult times, keep this prayer in your spirit. Greater is coming. God didn't bring you here to leave you. Paul says these light afflictions are for a moment, but they are working in us, listen to this, to an eternal weight of glory. You see, the trouble is temporary. The glory is forever. But the key is don't stay focused on the trouble. Go to your prayer closet and pray. Better yet, pray with others. Stay focused on God. Stay focused on the glory. The weight of glory is like wearing a coat on you. Now, I understand that some of you may be having a hard time right now, today. Life has dealt you a difficult or unfair hand, but the suffering is not in vain. It is leading you to something greater. Greater honor, greater victories. You know, King David recognized that God allowed him to suffer much hardship. But he didn't stay stuck in that pothole of despair that we talked about a few weeks ago. He didn't do that. Instead, he knew that he had a lot of bad breaks, but he knew that God would restore him to something greater. Why? Because God told him that. He would be honored to be in a place God had planned for his life, and thanking God for the greater in the middle of the difficulty. Now, he didn't have the New Testament that we study to help him at this time. He just knew from the promise that God gave him, and God gives us promises. It's important that when we're in times of difficulty that we pray and that we read our Bible to find out what those promises are. You're facing a difficult situation. Are you talking about how big the problem is or how big our God is? Middle of a difficulty, start claiming the greater is coming, that God is greater, greater health, greater opportunity, greater joy, greater love, greater relationships. First Peter said, after you have suffered a little while, notice that he said a little while, not 10 years, not 20 years, not for the rest of your life, but a little while. Suffering came to pass, not to stay. And here comes the hard part, the part we don't really want to hear. To see the greater, the glory, you have to go through the suffering. Now, it would be amazing if all we had to do is stay in faith all the time, but sometimes God is asking us to go through it. But there are certain levels of spiritual growth that don't happen if you don't go through the suffering. But don't get stuck there. Stay in faith and go through it. Keep speaking God's favor. Surround yourself with positive people that can help push you through. This is an opportunity to tell God, I am going to lose my dreams or my passion because of this bad thing happening. That's not what we're not going to stay in that place. Peter goes on to say, he said, after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace who has called you to his glory, he himself will restore you, strengthen you, and establish you. You see, God has already called you to victory. The victory is yours. The forces who have beaten you down in this life are no match for God who has called you. Be like David. Go through the suffering with strength and confidence in prayer. Know your Bible. Know your promises. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says this, don't worry or surrender to your fear. For you've believed in God, now trust and believe in me also. That's John 14, verses 1 to 3. That's a bold statement. And I wonder, how can it be possible to not be shaken up by life's circumstances? Jesus said those words, you see, shortly before he went to the cross. It seems he thought you could do that. Because you see, Jesus is the true source of your peace and mine. Jesus is your real joy. Jesus is your real freedom from worry. Trusting in God doesn't make life easier. I'm not saying that. It just means that walking with God, and God is walking with us through the circumstances. So how do you overcome? Well, I just said, don't get stuck in any potholes of despair on the journey. Take your thoughts captive, the Bible says, and give them to Jesus. Capture those thoughts. That means take those negative thoughts, and I literally sometimes put it in a bag and say, here, take this, God, take this away from me, and replace it with your promise. And I go to my Bible, and I find promises that I'm familiar with to help me through those times. So take your thoughts captive. Pray, study the Bible. And there we will find not just dealing with our emotions, our physical problems, but there is where we're going to find wisdom in the scripture. There's a sign on my desk that reminds me, stay calm. God is in charge. God is in control. People come in and they read that sign on the desk. And it reminds me a lot in the ministry that God is in control of all things. When trouble comes up, God is in the trouble with us. Isaiah tells us in another promise that I thought may be good for us to hear today. It says this in Isaiah 26:3, you will keep in perfect peace whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Instead of, God, why is this happening to me? Say, God, I know you are with me, and this situation will turn out for the good. Greater is coming. God will bring something good. Many of you have passed the test in your lifetime, the hard tests in your lifetime, were suffering through with a smile. You were pressing through the pain, worshiping instead of worrying. Well, get ready. Get ready. Greater is coming. God is about to do a new thing. Problems you thought would be there forever are gone. They will be gone, and your dreams will come to pass. Divine connections are going to find you. Greater is coming. Suffering was a setup so that God can launch you to the next place. So as the disciples hurried up to wait, They were waiting to be launched. I know that's hard, and I know it's hard to wait, especially when you're suffering or you're in anguish about a loss of some sort. Sitting around a room and waiting, it's hard. But you just keep doing what God asks. Be like those disciples who hurried back to the upper room in Jerusalem to pray, to wait with each other until the Holy Spirit moved them to action. And know the difference between taking an action out of emotion or ego and taking an action that is born from the Holy Spirit. There's a big difference. You see, the Spirit is leading you this way and wants you to pay attention to that. And the scripture also tells us that they were constantly devoting themselves to prayer. Those disciples took no action during this time except that. In fact, well, maybe they did take an action. It's an action that we sometimes overlook in a rushing to get things done and going too fast in life because we don't want to feel anxious and we don't want to suffer. The thing that they actually did do was wait. They waited. That is an action. God is saying in this scripture today for all of us, hurry up and wait. Pray without ceasing, and then remember that something greater is coming. Pray without ceasing. Sometimes when you're facing trouble, don't think you are receiving trouble because you've done something wrong. Sometimes when you are doing all things right, trouble still comes and you face difficulty. Now, these are forces that want to drag you down, but know this, only every setback is a setup that God is carrying you further in life. Suffering is putting you in a position of great honor, so stay in faith. The enemy wouldn't be stopping you if he didn't know that something amazing is in your future. So take your thoughts captive. Your words, use them wisely, bring them higher. Start thanking God, start praising God, because you know this will pass. And something greater is coming. You may hurry up in the middle of creating your life dream or a project that you're on and doing everything right, only to hear him say, wait. You see it all crumble down before you and you think, what am I waiting for? But God says something greater is coming. Get your fire back. Your fire is what happens when you connect your spirit in prayer to God. You see, God saw the injustice. God saw the unfairness, what was taken from you. God saw all that. The enemy may be laughing, but guess who's going to have the last laugh? God is. You are. I am. When you get your passion back, God will lead you to the right people to take you where you could not go on your own. So be faithful. Encourage yourself, because sometimes others are not available always to encourage you. God will bring it back. Right now, God is lining things up that you cannot see to be in your favor and bring it all back to you, personally, collectively, in this community, and in our world. In the summer of 1996, I had thought I had lost my daughter to trauma and PTSD. For years, she had that afterward. But you see, God had something greater for her in mind. Year after year, she learned to lean into God's love. She lived her life with faith and had some setbacks, yes, but she continued to push forward in that love she has known since she was a little girl. Healing came in time, an abundance that she now encourages in others who have faced trauma and severe stress in their life. In August of this year, the release of her second book, her first novel, will be happening, and the marketing team at the publishing house encourages her to take that first book and to do a book signing right here in her hometown of Southbury. And she's excited about doing that because many people here are waiting for that. So she's an author, a daughter, who writes about love born out of the ashes of trauma and the wounds and life challenges. So instead, going back to these disciples, of staring at heaven. And Jesus said, what are you looking at? Jesus is here, right here, with you in the time of challenge. That love is with you. And I leave you with one of her quotes from her first book. Love is the reason for all things. So when God tells you to hurry up and wait, wait in prayer at the love of God that surrounds you. Wait with confidence that something greater is coming.